salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I lost my glasses yesterday in the TSA. I got on these red ones. You see, I'm not punk rocking you or anything like that. My other glasses, I lost the TSA. How that happened, I don't know. Went back, tried to get them, couldn't find them. I'm in Moody, Texas. I'm at Commander Chad's house here. Josh Mann is over. Folks, listen. I gotta get this off my chest before I get too far into my chest. Listen. There's something going on, man. There's something going on here with the Salt and Light Brigade. There's something going on. We're not supposed to start this event here at Chad's till what time today? 7 o'clock tonight. And last night, sitting outside Chad's at a table was Coach Dave and Michelle from Ohio, Josh Manna from parts unknown, but Florida or whatever, Chad from Moody, Gary from Pennsylvania, Gary and Debbie from Oregon, Lane and Sherry from Nevada. Folks, there are people who drove yesterday from Oregon, Pennsylvania, and Nevada who are here, and there are more coming. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Something's going on. And I was saying to Chad, it started 2 years ago. I jumped on a plane. I came alone. Flew down here with Chad and Michelle. We got a church room that we could use. Brought in Rusty Thomas to speak to this brigade meeting that we're having. It was Chad Estes and his wife Michelle. Me, Rusty was the speaker, and that's it. Guy came in and ran the sound machine for us, Chad. We could probably count him, couldn't we?
Yeah.
And when it was over, we walked out the door, and there was Glenn and Corinne. We didn't know Glenn and Corinne, but they said, we're just getting here. We were late, a lot of traffic. We took them over to Whataburger, whatever it was, and sat down and explained it to them. And this weekend, there are going to be 50 people here in Moody, Texas. There's something going on. Now, I want to encourage you. I'm doing this on my cell phone today, so if I keep looking at the wrong phone, I'm sorry. This can happen where you live. And here's what I know. People have come here for fellowship. They're starving for fellowship. And I can't really see the queue and see how many people are in here. And Chad was blowing the horn last night. So, all right, we have 40 people in the queue. We have 45 people. I said, listen, dude, we got thousands that are watching. Chad said right now, 36. I think there's only 36 people watching the show. No. And I don't know why. And Chad said, what we need to do is we need to do a show and find out what drew people here and what's keeping you here. And how did you find out about it? Because the Lord is doing something, man, something great. Wish you could be here. I know you're not here. Somebody would like to be. Now, listen, I want to ride this horse here a minute. Because Chad and Josh and I were having this discussion this morning before we went on the. I got somewhere we're going. It's Flea Flicker Friday here, okay? Listen. I can't run your ministry. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a ministry. And we've had issues. I'm sorry about the lighting. People get frustrated because they say, well, you know, I'm trying to do this, and I don't recognize them. You know, nobody recognized my gift. Listen, I'm sorry if I don't recognize your gift. We are nothing more than a platform for you to plug into. But if you are waiting for me to recognize your gift and put you in the game, call Lexi, will you? Will you call Lexi? Some 17-year-old girl didn't wait for me to put her in the game. She said, I think I'm going to go play. I think I'd like to play. I'm going to go play. Chad didn't say, hey, coach, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today. Well, play, dude. Why are you waiting for me to put you in the game? Right where you I'm here to encourage you. I'm here to try to bring this group together. I'm here to try to do whatever I can to educate you, to live out the fullest that you can. That's what I'm here to do. And this, so we got to break this mentality that I am a follower of. We got to break that. Oh, I'm going to go follow John Hagee. Now I'll get tired of John Hagee for a while, and then I'm going to go follow Joel. And then I'll get tired, you'll get my feelings hurt, and I'll go follow. Hey, quit following anybody. Follow the Lord. Follow the Holy Spirit. Follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and go do something. Jeez, I'm tired of hurt feelings. I'm tired of it. When I put a tight end on the field, I tell him who to block, then I expect him to go block.
Put him on leash, put him out. It's not Randy.
I don't run around and hold his hand the whole time and walk him. Say, hey, by the way, we're going to run a play now. Everybody ready to run a play? Run your own daggone play. Am I sounding too harsh here, Chad? Right, bloom where you're planted. Go out there, get beat up a little bit, and then come back here, and we'll rub you back and tell you how brave you are, and we'll send you back out to fight. But right where you are, you're going to have to do something. I live in Ohio. I don't live in Moody, Texas. I don't live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I don't live in China, Maine. I don't live in Marshfield, Wisconsin. I don't live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I live in Ohio. You live in New Orleans, not me. So if you're going to wait for me to say, all right, boys and girls, let's all go do this today. This is never going to. Lord has put a mark on you, and he's put a mark on you for a reason. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to stand up and fight or not? And Josh was just saying, we're talking, maybe it's Chad here this morning. We're looking for some warm weather places to come in January and February, March. Hey, dudes, what are you waiting on? What are you guys waiting on down there in Florida, wherever? What are you waiting on? Come on, man. Get in the game, okay? Get in the game. And as much as I want to, I can't help Chad build Texas. I can do what I can, but Chad's got to do it himself. I can't help David Arthur. I mean, I love him and I'll support him, but I can't run his ministry for him. I can't. And I love what Larry's doing with Stab. I can't build Stab for Larry. I've been doing this 18 years. Just to be sitting here right now, I've been doing this 18 years. I love the Natural Family Foundation. I can't build that for JR. I can't. I'd like to, but I can't do that. Yeah, guys, understand? So some of you have picked up the mantle and said, well, I'm going to go do this. I can't build what Lexi's doing. Lexi's building what Lexi's doing. Trust in the Lord that he will enable you to be able to do it. Okay, let me switch gears here real quick. This is something. Do I want to jump in there yet, Lord? Let me open the mic. I'm going to let you fight back a minute. Somebody come on in here.
Coach, as I've always said, you're an activator. You activate people. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's not your responsibility to build our ministry.
I can't hold your hand, Paul, when you're in Georgia. I can't come to Tulsa. I'd like to. I live in Ohio. I can't come and organize you guys in Tulsa. You guys got to do that yourselves.
No, but you're an activator. That's the coach in you. You know, amen. When you were coaching football, you know, like just like you shared, that's what you do. And that's what God is gift he's placed in you. And that's what you're doing. And you're seeing the fruit of your efforts.
We are, brother. Paul, we are seeing some fruit. And see, I hate to say this. No, I don't. The church is designed to have you sit on your ass. That's what the church is designed to do. You sit on your ass and let the pastor go do something, right? We got to get past that. We got to get past that mentality, fellas. We got to get past that. First of all, the pastor ain't coming. He ain't coming. He'd already be there. Mm-hmm. And you may love him. He's a good guy. All right. However good a guy he is, good. Sit him in the corner and let him stand there in the corner. He ain't coming. Go ahead, George.
Well, Coach, I've talked to several pastors face-to-face. They love our message, but they don't like our method. So I've been... Mark. So, Coach, I've been asking them if they'd show us how to do it better, and not one of them will do it.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? And I like the way I'm doing. I know right now, David Arthur. I hope nobody takes this wrong, because I use speaking generalities. My phone went a little bit dark, so I'm running my phone off of my phone. So maybe it's a battery issue. My screen's dark. Oh, that's what it is. Oh, my computer screen. Yeah, thanks, Chad. My computer screen's how you can see me. I'm communicating with the. I won't say where it is because it doesn't matter. She's trying to twist her pastor's arm to have David Arthur speak. And the pastor is trying to come up with every excuse he can possibly come up with not to have David Arthur come and speak. Now, let me ask you something. Are we Bible-believing Christians or not? Or is this pastor not going to bring David Arthur in because he's concerned about what the reaction in the church might be? Is he not bringing David Arthur in because some fat cat on the front row has a homo son and he doesn't want to offend him? Are we purveyors of truth or not? Can somebody explain to me why David Arthur is not booked in a church every stinking weekend? Can somebody explain that to me? I'm going to pause right there. I'm going to wait for you to tell me. Why is David Arthur, who flies right into the face of that lie of homosexuality, why is he not booked in every church in every Sunday? He ought to be double dipping. He ought to be in one church on Sunday morning and on another church on Sunday night, spreading this message that you're not born that way. Why isn't he?
They don't want to hear the truth.
They don't. They don't want to hear the truth. That's the only thing I can. See, it's the apostasy, isn't it? It's the apostasy in the church. So along those lines, I know it's Flea Flicker Friday, but I got a couple things I got to throw at you. I got a text message from David Arthur this morning, whatever time I got up early, 4:30 here when I got up. David was already up on his way to Marquette, Michigan. I don't think is he in there today, Chad? I don't know if you can see David Arthur. He's probably not in because David, no, he's not driving. David Arthur last night on his way up to Marquette, Michigan, had to stop at an emergency room because something was happening. Something's going on in his bottom that has been occurring. Say it the right way. Do you guys remember when David talked about, if you didn't watch his show or you didn't hear my show the other day, David was attacked in his sleep by something demonic. You guys, most of you know what I'm talking about there. If you didn't, you need to go back and watch David's show, because he talked very clearly about September, about something coming into his room, paralyzing him in his sleep, and something, there's no nice way to say it, having sexual relationships with him. David told that stuff. I'm not making it. Obviously, it ain't coming from me. David Arthur told me. And David said ever since that morning, he's been having problems with his bottom. So he's at a nurse. He stopped on the way up to Marquette, Michigan. He stopped at an emergency room because he was having so much issue with it. And in the emergency room, they're saying maybe it's a cyst or something. He's in there right now. He's not life-threatening. He sent me I've communicated with him here this morning. And he asked that everybody would be praying for him. And so we're going to pray for him right here in a second. But continue to pray for David. Folks, this battle's real. This thing is so real. This battle is so much more real than your job. I mean, some of you getting up going to work. This battle is just as real as that rain going on down there in South Carolina. This thing is real. David Arthur was spiritually attacked, and it manifested itself physically. So we want to pray for him right now. And then I want you guys to be praying for him throughout the day. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the King of the kings and the Lord of the lords. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, Lord Jesus. You are the great physician, Lord. And we just thank you this morning that David Arthur is under the blood of Jesus. He's redeemed. He's sanctified. He's set apart, Lord Jesus. And we come against this spiritual attack in the name of Jesus and command it to go from him. We break that curse upon him. We break that attack upon him in the name of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, that you would touch him right now, that you would heal him in Jesus' name. And we break whatever soul ties, whatever it might be, whatever residue is attached to David. We break it in the name of Jesus. And you said wherever two or more are gathered, you are right in the midst. And we pray that prayer of agreement right now that David would be healed and that that demon, those spirits would no longer be able to harass him or touch him, that that power would be broken. No weapon formed against David Arthur shall prosper. Every tongue rising in judgment against him shall be condemned. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. So that's where he is right now. Now, because you guys think I'm crazy, Jared, please bring up on the screen, Got Questions, Incubus and Succubus. This is for all of you out there that laugh. Say, oh, the coach is, he gets into some crazy stuff. That coach gets into that crap. I don't know about Harriet. What do you think about him? I was with him. I was right there with coach. And then he started talking about this crazy spiritual stuff. Now, I don't know, Esther. Maybe we shouldn't be watching him anymore. That kind of stuff goes on, you know. Kind of stuff goes on. So David Arthur has given us, Chad, did you want to say something? I heard you come on over there.
Well, I was just going to say, David, that, you know, when you guys, when we have an event or something like that, then what I'll try to do is I try to, just like.
When I'm outside, they, Chad Beezer.
It's still echoing.
Yeah, go out there. Won't be so bad. Go ahead. Keep talking. You're okay.
Okay. And just like, you know, when they, you know, the Marines were going to take the beaches and stuff back in World War II and stuff like that. They had all that, those Amtraks or whatever back in those days, the landing craft. Well, see, the Navy would barrage that shoreline for a certain amount of time, and then they would send in the troops. And see, just like having this event here that we're having here this weekend, see, there's dark forces that don't want you to be here. They don't want people to show up. They're going to throw things in your way. They're going to make your work call you to have you come in early. Hey, we need you this weekend. You know, your car breakdown, you know, the traffic jam here, your finances, you know, some family problems, something like that. They're going to throw all these things in your path because they're trying to keep you from going. And yes. So once you realize that, hey, I'm going to go do this, then you put on. So we use the armor of God. We use that as just a slogan, but it's real.
It's real.
And so once you make a commitment, say, you know what? I'm going to Texas. I'm going to Ohio. I'm going to Wisconsin. Okay. I'm going to whatever event you're going to go into.
I'm gone.
Then what you do is then now you begin to bring in your spiritual warfare and you pray for your path to be eased. And all that kind of stuff. So your finances be easy. Because immediately once the dark side knows that they're in opposition to whatever you're doing. So we got to, you know, utilize that and be gamed up on it.
That's right. Otherwise, once they know they're being affected. That's right. That's right. Now listen, I got someplace I want to go. Even though this is Flea Flicker Friday. No, that's good. That's good. Yeah, thanks. Okay, listen. For all you naysayers out there and all you people, Harriet, turn it off. He's talking. There he comes, Harry. He's going to be talking about that crazy stuff, Harry. Get him off there. Oh, I got to call my pastor and see if it's okay for me to listen to Coach. Okay, so what is a succubus? Now, I'm going to say this probably 70% of those listening to me right now never heard of it. 60% of you think David Arthur's full of it. Think what he's saying, he's crazy. You don't believe it, right? Who don't believe it, right? So I said, well, you know, I could. You want to do something? I'm going to give you a challenge right now. When the show's done, you go to YouTube and you type in succubus. Go to YouTube and type in succubus. S-U-C-C-U-B-U-S. Type it in, and there will be more videos pop up on people giving testimony to what David Arthur just did, what happened to him. There'll be more tested. Now, you can deny it. You can deny that this stuff's going on. But we're here to equip you to understand, try to understand the spiritual world and what's going on.
Hey, Coach.
Vinny, I'm losing friends because they think I'm crazy. I'm losing friends because I'm showing what the Bible says about it. and they don't have anything to do. Uh-oh. Get him up 10-4. Yeah, go, Vinny.
Hey, you're not crazy. Remember?
I'm not.
Remember at the Hear the Watchman conference and Don, yes.
Don Paxson, that's right. I wasn't going to talk about it because I don't have Don's approval to do it. Don's experienced it. Oh, so I'm sorry, Vinny. I invited you and then stepped on you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. No, listen, this is your show.
That's what I do, isn't it?
That's right, brother. But it's
okay.
Humans are real, brother.
I went to Got Questions. Got Questions. I just type it in. It's a religious website. So what is a succubus and what's an incubus? Do you guys have that up on your screen? I hope you do. I'm reading it on my own computer screen, so I may be a little bit ahead of you, a little bit behind you. Answer. According to medieval folklore, where did medieval folklore come from? I wonder. A succubus is a demon that takes the form of a woman in order to have intercourse with a man in his dreams. The name comes from the old Latin and means to lie under. In Islamic superstition, there's a similar demon called a Garena or a Karena. In an ancient Middle Eastern culture, Lilith, oh my goodness. Do you guys remember back when I was in Indianapolis? I told this story, I'm going to tell it to you again. That we had this demon-possessed young lady. She was about 25 years old. The guys had been ministering to her all day. And somebody said, my coach, man, she's really something. She's possessed or something. So I walked across the street and I went up. If I could find a clip, I'd go back and show you. And I went over to her and I looked her in her eyes and I said, in the name of Jesus, identify yourself. I did it about 3 times. In the name of Jesus, identify yourself. And she looked me in the eyes and she said, Lilith, Lilith. I said, what? Lilith. I'd never heard of it at all. I ran across the way and got my cell phone out and Googled it. Lilith. What? Lilith was a demon. Did you guys know that? Did anybody know that? Look what it just says here. What does it say? Middle Eastern cultures, Lilith was the night demons. I'd never heard of Lilith in my life. Now, we could do research on Lilith right now. I'm not going to take the time to do it. You can do that yourself. Whichever name is used, the essential qualities are the same. A demon who tempts men sexually at night and who tries to kill infants at birth. There are two biblical passages that may refer directly to this kind of demon. One of the Dead Sea Scrolls depicts a being called the seductress, who has horns and wings and a multitude of sins in her wings. This being tempts men into sin and ultimately drags them into the pit. The passage is quite similar to Proverbs 2:18-19, which describes the dangers of the seductress or a strange woman. In describing the results of God's judgment on Edom in Isaiah 34, says the screech owl also shall rest there and find for herself a place of rest. The American Standard Version translates Lilith as a night demon or monster. And the Revised Standard Version uses the name Lilith. Some commentators have proposed that primitive cultures heard the cries of nocturnal animals and attribute them to demons because they had no knowledge. They didn't understand the spiritual world, really. Well, so are succubi real? Dot Questions asks. David Arthur would tell you they are. If we grant any credence to the widespread beliefs of ancient culture, the answer would have to be yes. This ain't me. I'm not saying this. If we confine our search to biblical writing, the answer becomes more difficult. To be sure, the name has been associated with demonic presence for several thousand years, and it fits in a context in the Bible. It is also certain that the Bible deals with demons as very real, very powerful beings which have dealings with mankind. 2 Peter speaks of angels who sinned and were cast to hell in judgment. Jude says, likewise, speaks of angels who kept not their first estate. Okay. Chad, but this is right here, man. I mean, I ain't making this up. I wouldn't have made up the fact. I didn't make up what happened to David. Oh, the male counterpart of the succubus is the incubus. Latin for the incubu, for nightmare. An incubus was supposedly a male demon who would lie with sleeping women in order to have sexual intercourse with them. incubi were thought to be able to father children. What? Oh, I left my tinfoil hat at home. Oh, my goodness. Angels having sex with humans? Surely I read the Bible wrong here. Surely I do. Merlin, the legendary wizard from the King Arthur legends, was supposedly sired by an incubus. Did you know that, Chad? Did you guys know that? Merlin was... That's how he was able to pull the sword out of the stone.
Because he was superhuman.
Both succubi and incubi were the products of medieval superstitions. See? Superstitions. And were most likely efforts to explain the natural phenomena that occurred during sleep. Nightmares, sexual dreams, sleep paralysis, night terrors. Are they... Folks, listen, I don't know. Are they natural or are they... I'm just asking a question. I'm just asking. I don't know. They're also thought to have been efforts to explain away nightmare rapes and other assaults on women by friends, relatives, and even the clergy. As Christians, we are warned against worshiping demons. And even their names should be forgotten. Some people study demons thinking that they will help them carry on spiritual warfare. All we really need to know about the enemy is this. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Our focus should be on learning more about the one who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness. When we hide God's word in our hearts, it keeps us from sinning against him and gives us weaponry to fight against any attack of Satan or his demons. David Arthur, last week, walked into a very, very dark area unprotected. And there's been, something's happened as a result. Somebody come in here, especially those of you who think I'm full of it. Or you don't have to think I'm full of it.
This is Brother Jeff and Fallon.
Hey, Jeff.
My house has been attacked. I've been touched and actually had to bless my house, go to each wall with the anointed oil to kick them out. And it works. But they still keep coming back. And I can feel the spirit within my room. Wow. It just raises a hair on the back of my neck. And I command the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will depart from my house. And believe me, it works. Amen. But they keep coming. Amen. Amen.
But Jeff, you might have something charged in your house that's still allowing them to come in. My daughter was given a teddy bear. And as soon as they had that teddy bear in her house, she began feeling all this evil spirit, like you're talking about. So we went back and traced it. I said, get rid of that bear. And then we anointed her apartment after that and never had another problem. See, because these forces, they can come in, they can take over the stuff. So it's charged. Stuff's charged. I brought some candles home one time from my work, but they had an event down there. And all of a sudden, we're arguments here at the house and everything like that. See, so we threw them out and then cleansed the house, and everything went back to normal. So these things can attach to inanimate objects, not just people.
I figured it out. Hey, Chad, I figured it out. My wife has a card. It's charged.
Good card.
It's charged. It keeps sucking money out of our account. Now, listen, I'm not making light of this, right? Now, listen, some of you right now, I can hear you. I like listening to the coach when he's talking about the politics. I like when he gets into this tinfoil stuff. And so here's what happens. Somebody listening right now is going to go run into their pastor. Oh, you should have heard what he was talking about. I told you shouldn't be listening to that guy. I told you shouldn't be listening. Listen, here's all I'm doing is bringing you the reality of what happened to somebody else and asking you what in the heck is going on.
Excuse me, Coach. I'm sorry. This is Tanya. I have Tanya. Something to say. Hi, how are you? As a child who grew up in a cult family with witchcraft, There are demons, and I actually was attacked last night, but I'm not going to get into that. But there are portals. Like, some homes have portals where these demons can come in, and the land can be cursed as well. So not only would you need a land cleansing if you have some kind of manifestation, but also a house cleansing. And also it could be generational curses as well, which you need to be delivered from. And most people, I know this might sound weird to the average churchgoer, most people need to be delivered from demonic spirits, from generational curses. That's the reality.
It's faulty. Now we're really getting into it, Tanya. Oh, no. Coach, can't you talk about Hillary Clinton?
Coach, you want me talking about her?
There's a witch.
Bohemian Grove witch. Yes.
Yeah. So see, here's what it is. We talk about the demonic, but we don't really believe in it. See, we talk about it, but we really don't believe in it. See, and all I'm trying to do is bring to the table and say, hey dudes, could this be real? Something happened to David Arthur. Something happened to him. Yeah, Rog.
Where do we think the evil spirits act? You know, I'm a pretty simple believer, but did we not have angels having sex with humans in the Bible?
We did.
Okay, so is there any place in the Bible that has told us that has ended?
That was back then, Roger.
That's gifts have ceased. Speaking in tongues has ceased. The Holy Spirit's giftings have all ceased. I don't know. Roger, listen, I'm just throwing it out on the table. I ain't no expert, but I know something. Something happened to David Arthur. He was in my house last Sunday, and I saw how shaken he was. Something happened to him. All right? He ain't making it up. Now, he has a cyst on his bottom. Who knows why? Are those two connected? I don't know. But we'd be stupid if we wrote it off that those two things are connected. We'd be stupid.
It's called the infliction of spirit of infirmity, Coach. And you know what? Mm-hmm. When we look at God as believers, and I don't think we're having a much resistance in this huddle, but when you get out there and talk to the church folk, they believe in God. Jesus himself says they that worship the Father must worship in spirit and truth because he is a spirit. Mm-hmm. And we believe God, but we don't believe what is God for? Well, in 1 John it says that he was manifested to destroy the works of darkness.
Of the devil.
Brother, if we believe that there's God and he's a spirit, you better understand that there's an adversary.
Chad, fill me
and
up.
And he's a spirit.
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, Dale,
yes.
You hit the nail on the head. Somebody said, well, I believe in God. And Jesus says, yeah, even the devil believes in God.
Yeah. Amen. So what? We're not ignorant of his devices, right? We're not ignorant. That's what it says. We're not ignorant of his devices. I don't need more of that. And so when I come in, Michelle, we'll get back feedback on that, honey. Michelle just came walking up. So I'm just trying to ask you, are we ignorant of his devices? I don't know. Something happened to David. Hey, Don Paxson. I can't see. Is Don with us today? Are you with us today, Don?
Yeah.
Hey, Don, do you amen this? Have you ever had an experience like this, Don?
Not sexual.
Good. Go ahead.
I've been attacked several times since Long Island.
And how does this attack occur, David? Now, listen, folks, we're not just talking, oh, the devil's after me. Oh, he's making me look at porn. Oh, the devil's after me. He's making me eat three pizzas. Oh, the devil's after me. I can't put down cigarettes. That ain't what we're talking about. Talk about the actual manifestation of what's happened to you, Don, several different times.
Comes in physical attacks, scratches, bruises.
Are you aware of it when it goes on, Don?
No.
What, you just wake up the next morning and it's there?
Yeah, a lot of times. The other day I found marks on my leg. Looks like some kind of lettering. I've never seen that before.
Can anybody else testify that you've had an experience like this? Can anybody else testify? Anybody in the queue that can testify, say, yeah, that happened to me too?
Absolutely, Coach. And actually, to be laying in bed, go through spiritual warfare, and wake up almost, it feels just like a person is choking you and has you pinned down. And you know what I did, brother? I just looked and I laughed and I rebuked it in the name of Jesus. And immediately it fled.
Pastor Tim almost cut his own arm off. Remember that?
Pastor Tim, that's Tim. Are you? No, he's not out there. That's right. That's right. Cut his arm on. Something made that thing. Yeah. Well, we got to get him back on and test it. Anybody, come on, listen. There's some of you right now in the queue that have a story, and you've never shared it, and you can remain anonymous if that's you. Say yeah, folks. How do we convince? I'm trying to present evidence. People are gonna say, "What's doctrines of devils?" Really? Is it really? Anybody out there testify to evidence of some type of demonic, net physical demonic attack? Anybody?
Well, Coach, I'm laying in bed and I feel a hand on my back. And I turn around. My wife's not in the room. My dog's not in the room. I look around. What the heck is going on?
Yeah, but Jeff, you're crazy. You're crazy to begin with. So you're probably making that up. You're crazy. I'm not making fun of you, Jeff. Anybody else? Come on, anybody else? Because there are people right now who don't believe it. There are people right now think I'm crazy. And you know, I'm not here telling you what happened to me, because it hasn't happened to me, but it's happened to friends of mine. They talk about it in your church. Yeah, Rog.
I'll just say this. I, in my life, and I'm a pretty normal, middle-of-the-road guy. I'm not in any crazy direction, but I did have an experience years ago when I visibly saw a demonic angel walk by me, physically saw it, okay? Now, only happened once, but once was enough.
Okay, so Roger, let me ask you this. Somebody help me out here. Somewhere in that old dusty Bible, doesn't it say something about angels appearing as a demons appearing as an angel of light? Does it say that in this? Does anybody know, ever hear that scripture? Anybody out there in the queue can help me? Where a demon comes as an angel of light? Does it? Hey, what? What does that mean?
Dave
comes as an angel of light. A demon comes as an angel of light. How's that work? Yeah, Roger.
Well, you know, I get up every day. I go to work at 8, come home at 6:30. Been doing that for years. I have a family. I have a car. I pay bills. I am very normal. Don't tell me what didn't happen to me. It did. I'm not, I'm not testifying about Bigfoot. This happened to me. And I don't care
good
what
analogy.
Anybody says.
That's
it
right.
happened. I saw it. I felt it. It happened one time. And that turned me over to the corner of believing in these things because of this one experience.
Michelle, see if you can get on the show. Michelle, I want you to turn your microphone on. Michelle, you hear me?
2 Corinthians 11:14.
What's it say, Dale?
I'm on my phone too, but it's 2 Corinthians 11:14.
2 Corinthians 11:14. Michelle, can you get in here? Can we hear Michelle?
And not only that, Coach, but brother, there's the other side of it. Even in Hebrews, it says that we unaware, do you not know that we've entertained angels? Oh. Brother, that's of the Lord's army.
I'm having issues here. Maybe. Too many people pulling on the internet. So I'm not.
Okay, Coach, 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light.
Thank you, Dale. Huh? Why does he have to disguise himself? Oh, because he shows up in the natural. That'd be why. He shows up in the natural.
Even listen to the next passage. Therefore, it's not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness.
Are you kidding me?
Whose end will be according to their deeds.
Jared, pull that up on the screen for me, man. I can't believe this. Are you kidding me? It says that? Okay, I believe you. I believe you. Well, there goes our audience.
Coach,
Don,
I sent you a picture of Don, his last attack.
Yeah, I can't get it up. I'm on my phone, so I can't do it. Send it to Jared. Maybe Jared can get it up there. I mean, I don't know. I didn't mean to get bogged down on this, okay? But, hey, guys, we don't even have our church leaders who understand Hillary Clinton's demonic. They just think she's a Democrat. By the way, Democrat. Duh.
Here, Coach. Right? Coach, listen to this.
How can you fight something you don't believe in? Go ahead, Dale.
Okay, so in Hebrews, when it talks about the Spirit of the Lord, he makes his ministers pillars of fire. He goes on to say in verse 14 of the first chapter, are these all not ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? But listen to chapter 2, how it opens. For this reason, we must pay closer to attention what we have heard so that we will not drift away. And brother, that's what's happened. The church has drifted away from the spiritual side of what the purpose of church is supposed to be. To be the ministers that continue to destroy the works of darkness.
Dale, I don't know who it was. Somebody earlier in the show said that somebody needs to go into the church and cast out devils out of the people in the church. That's what I think. I mean, what do you think, Chad? You agree with me on that one? We don't even believe it. They make fun of me if I even bring it up. Make fun of me.
Hey,
Disfellowship with me.
Hey, Dale, Hebrews, what chapter was that?
That was the end of chapter 1 going into chapter 2. Brother, you know, Coach, I used to be in the rock band, and brother, Ronnie James Dio, who's the lead singer of Black Sabbath, his practice room was my practice room. You go to the Black Sabbath album of 666, and you see the devil using the church. The walls are open like puppeteers, brother, with strings attached to them.
So in other words, Dale, the dark side believes in the dark side. The light doesn't believe in the dark side. Isn't that really where we are?
The dark side
believes it so much that they do incantations. They're aggressively taking ground, the dark side. And what do? We fight with each other as to whether it's real or not. No, those gifts have ceased. No. We don't have that power anymore. That was just for back in those days. I don't know. I just work here. That's all I know. So anyway, get off of this. It's real. David Arthur's under attack. He covets your prayers. Don Paxson is under attack. He covets your prayers. We just heard Jeff from Fallon is under attack, and he covets your prayers. We just heard that, right? I'm not going to say that I am. I don't, you know. Hey, listen. I get waking up in the middle of the night sometimes with almost in panic. And I don't know what it is. And then I calm down and I take authority over it and I go back to sleep. Does that ever happen to anybody else? Is that just my mind playing tricks on me? Is that really what? Am I crazy? That out of a deep sleep, I would bolt up in my bed in deep, deep panic? Is that just a dream? Or is there something going on?
No, that's real, Coach. That's real. I've done that myself.
Coach, you know what's unique about it is, you know, even in Corinthians chapter 1, it says it's the simplicity things of God that confounds the wisdom of man. Where I see that the people who believe in God but do not move in the power of God normally are those who are like the pharmaceutical. the Pharisaical. They're full of head knowledge. Man, they can articulate. They can split the word open. They study it. But, brother, they walk around like gravestones, brother. They have no power in them.
That's right. No good to anybody else. That's right. That's right.
Coach?
Yes.
Can I use this for a teachable moment? You know, there's not only those that are listening on the huddle and listening to the show, but via the podcast and everything like that.
Okay, hang on a second, Larry. Yes, I'm going to let you, but I want to say this. This entire show is a teachable moment. Go ahead.
We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are real brothers and sisters in Christ around the world that are undergoing experiences, if not the same as, but in the same category and situation.
What do we think voodoo is? Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, Coach, please. You know, we can pray for every one of those circumstances, every single person, without knowing their circumstances and name. All we have to do is follow the simple prayer that he taught us. When we pray for thy will to be done, that is including in every member of his body. We don't have to know the name to stick to a prayer label. We can say, Father, your will be done in the lives of your children, and it will cover every one of those demonic circumstances going on. Why not let us do that? Can you imagine if there were tens of thousands of us praying for it? You think it might help the situation?
Yeah, I think it might. I think it might. I think the simplicity of the gospel sometimes is too simple for us to understand.
Well, let's go back to the scripture then. In Ephesians chapter 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and demons and rulers in high places.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about that we're in the stand praying for the world, but brother, we're engaged in the battlefield ourselves, and we're not wrestling against flesh, but we're wrestling against, in our sleep when we're awake, against demonic spiritual activity.
Okay, so listen, here's what – yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, one quick thing. Every night, I pray constantly every day because I'm always constantly attacked. But God sometimes allows us to get attacked because there's something in our life that we have to repent for. Oh. So he allows these demons to attack us, just like I still have to deliver myself from the Jezebel spirit. You know, that's something I had to be delivered from. So he allowed that attack to happen to me. It wasn't as severe as some of them, but I pray every single day, multiple times a day, even before night, and still I got attacked last night. That's all I have to say. So thank you,
Jared. Pull up 1 Corinthians 6. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. Okay. Ah, Lord, help me. I can't see it on my screen. Is it up there? 1 Corinthians 6:18. I'm touching it right now on my little screen here. Come on, pop up there for me. Somebody read that for me. I can't see it on my screen. Somebody read it for me. Go ahead, Chad. You can read it for me. He can't see it either. He's on his phone. Somebody read that for me.
All right. flee fornication.
Stop. You want to win some battles? There it is. Now, Jared, you've been hanging around Roger, because that ain't the King James. Right? Now, I'm not the father, son of King James, but mine doesn't say flee fornication. Mine says...
No, here's what it says. It says, I'm reading from the New King James now.
Okay.
But it says flee sexual immorality.
Immorality. Immorality. Flee from it. Not rebuke it. Flee from it. So every time you're messing, especially with sexual immorality, but every time you're messing with immorality, you are giving the enemy permission to enter your life. And he said, don't rebuke immorality. Flee it.
Yeah, run like hell.
Turn off the computer. Turn it off. Flee it.
And coach, that letter was addressed to the church.
Yes,
those words are addressed to us, not the world, to us.
Glenn, keep reading on there, man. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. That'd be a lie. Flee immorality. What else does it say, Glenn?
All right. So every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body.
Mm.
Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you.
So wait a minute, the Holy Spirit's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. And are there any other demons trying to get in you? Keep going, Glenn.
So do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
And flee immorality. So a lot of you, a lot of us, are struggling because we've opened the door and welcomed stuff in through immorality, especially sexual sin. Now, if David Arthur could get on here, see, a lot of you don't know this about David Arthur. David Arthur has come up with a spiritual warfare teaching called, are you ready? Residue. Now, what is residue? Just in life, what is residue? When the Twin Towers came down, if we really had an honest government, they would have been doing all kinds of tests to find residue or stuff that's left over after the building came down. All right? So here's my theory. When David Arthur went down to Kentucky or wherever he went, David Arthur has a lot of spiritual residue. And so those demonic scientists are able to look down and say, wow, look, he used to do this. There's residue in him from this, and there's residue in there from that. And what happened? An attachment took place. Oh, boy, I need my tinfoil hat now. So those of out there that are dealing with pornography, well, you got a lot of residue in your life, baby. You got a lot of residue. And you can rebuke it all you want to, but at some point you're going to have to flee from it. You're going to have to take the steps to flee from it. Rebuke it and flee. Flee. Run! Run! And in many areas of our lives, as somebody was speaking about earlier, Chad was talking about it, there's things in your home that's charged. It's charged in that it was a demonic influence at some point, somewhere along the line. And those are portholes and areas of which these demonic spirits are able to attach to, dare I say it, the residue. Wanna know why you can't drink in beer? Stop drinking beer even though you want to? Got residue in your life. Wanna know why you can't stop smoking cigarettes even though you want to? A lot of residue. Been wounded. A lot of stuff is undone and a lot of stuff happened to you before you got saved. And the evidence is still there. The residue is still there. Oh yeah, I know the Lord has taken it as far as the east is from the west. He's cleansed you from all that. But in the demonic world, there's residue. And so those things that you were in your previous unsaved condition attracted to and attached to, the residue is scars. And in a spiritual realm, they see you're vulnerable. They see, oh, he used to be connected to that.
Hey, Coach, it also leaves a scent behind that can be smelt.
A scent?
Yes. You, if a residue.
Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman. Is that what you're talking about?
In a way that, yes, but everything that you did that was evil in some way leaves a mark or a
residue. That's right. Yes. There's a trail. Right. There's a trail.
Yeah, there's something. You always leave a trail behind of something that you've done. You walk the path. That path led you to a place. That place took you where you really shouldn't have went, but you went there anyway because you were willing to travel there.
So the scientific researchers can come along the crime scene and they can find all this residue that was left behind, right? Is that true in the spiritual realm too? Have you left breadcrumbs? Are there breadcrumbs behind you that the demons are picking up on? They're following along, waiting for you to fall again so they can come back in and bite on you again? Did David Arthur wander into a bunch of breadcrumbs that he shouldn't have been around and they tried to reattach themselves to him?
Hey, Coach, 1828 Noah Webster on flee. It's not just to flee from and run away from. The second terminology, listen to this one, to avoid. To avoid. That right there. Think about it. There's some places we're not supposed to go.
Oh, man. Hey.
How about lead us not into temptation?
It's everywhere, isn't it, Larry? It's all perspective. And see, the Holy Spirit doesn't lead us into temptation. We do that ourselves, right? We do that ourselves. Hey, listen, I want you to know this. I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm trying to set us free. He whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. But the scripture tells us to not be ignorant of his devices, because there are those sins always want to come back, man. They're always waiting. Somebody help me out here. Do you know of anybody?
Whom the Son makes free.
Makes free.
Free deed.
Do you know of anybody who is an alcoholic and got off alcohol and then fell off of the wagon? And what happened to them when they fell off of the wagon? Why, those breadcrumbs and that residue reattached itself, didn't it? So when the scripture says to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, folks, it's an ongoing process every day in your life. And even though your sin has been washed away, and even though in the sight of the Lord you're a brand new creature, let me tell you something, there's residue, there's DNA, there's breadcrumbs of that previous life everywhere you go. And you may not be aware of it, but it's there.
The scripture calls them familiar spirits, Coach.
Familiar spirits.
And the devil dealing with Jesus only left for a season and he came back.
He did, didn't he, Larry? He came back.
Once the situation is over, you know, as a Christian, he's never going to bother you again. He even came back and bothered Jesus again.
And Larry, how about this one? Doesn't the Bible say that if a watchman, a guy at the house comes home, finds the house, and cleans out the house, and it's all clean, and then whatever happens to him, what happens next? Why, they come back seven times stronger.
Yep.
So there's residue. We all got residue, spiritual residue. You know what? You know what some of you are? Listen, oh, Lord, I'm looking at the clock. I don't have much time left. Some of you, your biggest enemy ain't the devil. It's you. Huh? It's you.
Amen, Coach.
Chad just yelled at me over there. I'll get on Monday, little September 29th. We're having this big event here in Ohio. We're going to do it in Ohio September 29th. Put it on your calendar right now. What we're doing here at Chad's. We're going to have 50 people here in Moody, Texas. It started with two of us a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. It was two of us. There are going to be 50 people. We have people here from Oregon. We have people here from Nevada. Victor is going to drive all the way from El Paso, 8 hours. George is coming from Oklahoma. We've got people coming from all. See, listen, don't sit at home and complain when you won't make the effort to do something about it. And I don't want to hear any more. Well, Lord, help me be nice. Help me be nice.
Well, Coach, you said it just a minute ago.
Self-inflicted wounds, man. Self-inflicted wounds.
You said we are running out of time. When you were just, brother, I'm telling you, that was like, bam. It wasn't just that this show is running out of time.
No.
We're running out of time.
We're running out of time. I'm just going to throw this out at the end of the show. Chad said I could do it. He's sitting over there. We're going to help a brother make a